Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I have two people here in person with me, Lindsay Frank and Bree Helders. Hey, you two.
Hi.
Hello.
All right, we just wrapped up our interview about their film, Bree and Lindsay Are Actors, which won two awards at the Filmvasion Los Angeles Festival in 2021 and is going to be in the Discover Indie Film TV series, along with Lindsay's other film, Honest Roommates. So exciting stuff. You should definitely go to Amazon Prime Video and watch season 5, which has their film in it and two of Lindsay's films. But this episode is not about their films. It's about their opinions. This is the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are favorite films of all time, limit 3, although you're not a hard limit, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. It's just a fun way to get to know you and have a fun discussion about films. So who wants to go first and say some favorite films?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay. Favorite films. I obviously did not keep it to 3, but I'm gonna do my best to do it now. Okay.
Okay.
I think
I'll
my
do
favorite
one, you
movie.
Do
okay.
5.
My favorite movie is Casino. Robert De Niro.
Casino.
Yeah, the movie Casino.
Casino.
That's how my mother said it, and I can't say it right. I
know. That's funny.
Is there like a? And of course, it would be my favorite movie, and so I have to fucking say it all the time. I also on that list would be Casablanca, King of Comedy. And Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Willy Wonka, definitely.
Willy Wonka, the Gene Wilder.
Yeah, the Gene Wilder, obviously.
No, Johnny Depp.
No, the Johnny Depp version.
That one is very good.
I know, it's not bad. He did a very different thing, so it's fine.
I didn't see it.
But I just love Gene, and I love all of his movies, but I have such an emotional attachment to that movie, obviously, because it was the first Gene Wilder movie, or anything he'd ever done that I'd seen, and I just became obsessed with like him and his process, and cannot recommend his books enough as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also have like such an affection for Robert De Niro. And I couldn't figure out why. So this movie, Casino, that we've all seen and love. I texted my sister not long ago and I was like, I've just realized something. I was like, Robert De Niro is our father.
Ooh.
Like, it's exactly. And then I was like, you could actually map these characters over, like, the people who raised us. It's fucking. And we also had a crazy upbringing. Like, bananas. But, yeah. Anyway, really, really, really love Robert De Niro. I think if I ever met him, I would cry. I don't even, like, fangirl out. But I'd be very fucking cool. But, like, then I'd go in my car and cry. Because I'd just be like, it's like my dad.
And King of Comedy is a great film.
Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it?
It's an amazing film. And it's amazing how it gets into what it's like to, yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that character.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that movie so, so much. Which, yeah, I'm always impressed that people, like, have seen it. Have you seen King of Comedy?
Mm-mm.
It's very good.
I mean, it came out, I was like alive when it came out. So like,
what's that like?
It's not too impressive. It's not too impressive that I was aware of it. Cause it was like a big deal movie.
But was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, the Casino guy directed it.
Uh-huh.
But I love when Scorsese walks away from the mob and does something
extra
interesting.
I think that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lindsay?
Oh, my turn?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. I didn't know if we were going each.
Oh, thing. Do I do all?
No,
you do.
Yeah,
you all
take turns doing favorites.
By the way,
I just want to add in like a nod about to Casablanca too, because I just think it's
incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
One of the greatest and timeless.
Absolutely timeless. Hey, fucking holds up too.
Holds up. Feels mm-hmm. current.
I mm-hmm. will say I did when before I dropped out of college. I did a film class where we had to watch a ton of films, and it kind of was a blur back to back, but I was like, Citizen Kane, thumbs all the way down, sorry, but Casablanca, I was like, I had a fun time. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously it's old and things are made differently.
Oh, it's
like,
just so romantic.
I was so romantic and I was still able to have a good time mm-hmm. where I'm like immediately turned off sometimes about old Hollywood movies, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it one of my favorites is that just that it, I mean, like, my favorite movie when I was a kid was this movie called Gidget, which if you watch it now, does not fucking hold up. Let me tell you what. But I was just a kid.
That's like one of the most famous surf movies is about the young woman who surfs with the boys.
With Moondoggy.
Moondoggy, that's
that's what he's called.
And I loved it. It became a TV series, too. With Sally
it
Field.
It did, didn't I'm it? Sold. Yeah, yeah. I never saw the TV series, but, you know, unlike other old movies that I really, really loved as a kid, because I was adopted by people that were a generation up, so I grew up hugely on old music and old movies, and Casablanca just really, really stands the test of time, and it's just so sad and sweet.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's, like, what are they called? Cinephiles?
Cinephiles
mm-hmm. or movie buffs. I think my stepdad will just watch any movie ever, all of them. So it's not like he has pushed me in any direction. My dad died young, so like only got a couple in. And I think I was sort of like left to my own devices to develop my own taste or what have you. But I will say that I saw the movie Superstar, starring Molly Shannon, 5 times in theaters. That seems pretty high.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I said, my stepdad was going to movies every day. I was like, can I go in this one? Okay, cool. We're going again. Can I go see this one again? But, like, truly sort of glommed on to this movie. And I would think it's, like, maybe my most seminal movie of my formative years. I'm just like, oh, a woman can star in a fucking bonkers comedy and just that's it. Like, it's so insane. And it stars a woman. What? Like,
stars a woman directed by a kid in the hall.
And when it kind of clicks in your head that, like, oh, this is allowed. And I don't have to be a doctor or teacher or, you know, what I mean, like, your brain sort of is just has, like, an aha moment. And I think that for me was sort of like, oh, I can do that. Great.
Do you ever, when you're feeling, like, the actor struggle or, like, the comedian, you know, do I stay at this? Am I good at this? Like, is that something you go back to? But is that something that you go back to just to, like, revive that feeling?
Sure. And she's not, like, 19 in that movie either.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big thing.
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
And I do think, you know, I won't ever age out of being funny, thank God.
Yeah.
But surely my boobs will sag to my ankles.
Mm-hmm.
But in, like, a funny way.
Mm-hmm.
and then for, like, a movie later in life, where I just had that thing where I watched it and then immediately put it on again. And I think this is a favorite of a lot of people, is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That's on my list, but in a very different category.
What's the cat? Oh, I won't ruin it for others.
Oh, my.
Overrated? Because that'd be funny.
Wow, that's her overrated. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely not overrated.
Because of people like us who think it's perfect.
Oh, no. Is that where it's at? Yeah, that is where it's at.
Have to, like, try to convince you that it's okay.
You please convince me that it's okay. I have a lot. I'll give you my opinions later.
Wait, I'm going to interrupt and share something dumb and personal, which is I was once in the same hotel as Molly Shannon, and my ex-wife walked up to her and told her how great she was, and she sat and talked to us for a while, and she was the nicest.
Oh, yeah.
She was, like, without a doubt, a wonderful human being. So I figured I would mention that. Your hero is a wonderful human being.
Yeah,
too.
I stayed at, like, a Comic-Con panel for, like, a cartoon show that she had a voice in and, like, waited in line and was just like, hi. oh, shit, I made it up here. I just, you know, thanks for being great, I guess. Like, this other, like, girl that had just gone before me super fanned out, and, like, her mom was with her, and her mom was like, trust me, everything she does is because of you, and she wants to be on SNL because of you. And then me, I was like, I just sort of wanted to tell you thank you for being funny. And that was my 2 seconds. But of course, so gracious. And she even, like, did a couple impressions of her characters for the girl in front of me, and I was like, am I not as good of a fan? Hopefully either is well received.
I think you picked your spots better than that other kid.
Like, yikes, or should I? Or whatever. Whatever makes Molly feel good, I wanted to do.
Whatever makes Molly feel good.
But I wasn't
going to... That's like the new, what would Jesus do?
whatever makes Molly feel good. yeah, she was super nice. And her character on the new show, the other two, she's phenomenal. And also plays a talk show host that gets too tired being too nice to every fan. So I'm glad she gets to do a role where... That's too much. She has to take naps standing up. Anyways, yeah, I did immediately watch that movie, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, again. Because, boy oh boy, as a serial monogamist, I think that just watching the heartbreak of seeing two people knowing that they had erased each other, being like, we already did this, and like, yeah, this is, and I think we were talking about this earlier too, of like grief and trauma and stuff, like you have to face it and go through it.
Yeah.
And you can't just erase it, and as much as you want to, like, you're not gonna learn, you're not gonna have authentic knowledge or wisdom. And just the fact that they had erased that wisdom. As a serial monogamist, I know I learned so much from each relationship, as much as you want to erase whoever and whatever. And just the fact that it comes back for people, like, it made me want to, like, throw up and cry and throw up and cry. And it's, like, and it's fucking crazy to have this, to have attraction and to have that chemical thing and that thing you chase. And you can't get it back. That's another thing. Like, you can't get falling in love back. Like, chemically. Like, if you, like, do couples therapy and sex therapy, it's like...
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, you...
Completely fucking disagree.
Unless you, like, fall... Like,
I truly believe that a sign of a good marriage is that you can fall in and out.
Oh, yeah, but not the initial, like...
I think it just gets better and better. Like, I've been married, and I think that... Like, one of the best moments I've ever fallen in love was realizing that I'd fallen back in love with my husband was, like, so much better than the first time. I don't know if you've had a similar experience, but...
I get, like...
You just get into, like,
sometimes... It's, like, a deeper thing.
It's a deeper thing. I wouldn't say it's the same thing. It's, like... Yeah, it's not the same, though, as if you break up and get back together or something. That's not the same.
Yeah, because that's, like, makeup sex territory, and...
Yeah.
That's different.
Do you want... Should I... I don't want to jump us ahead, but I will tell you the one thing that, like, made me not connect to any of that with this movie is that I didn't find their relationship believable. And that I did not care about the characters or what happened to them. I did not like their characters very much. And I just, like, for me, it didn't feel like the emotion was there. Like, the entire time I was like, well, you don't make sense together. You should break up. Literally the entire movie. But I understand, like, that feeling about it. Like, the agony of a breakup. I just didn't believe the agony from her. And I'm a massive, like, Revolutionary Road is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Oh,
I fuck with Kate Winslet.
That's, yeah, hard. That's a different movie altogether.
I'm just going to jump in there.
She's great. She's great.
I haven't seen Eternal Sunshine for a long time. I saw it 2 or 3 times, I think, early in its life. Mm-hmm. And I considered it, like, a great film. And I have this memory of it being this incredibly romantic quest of... He sort of mind versus heart, and that he decided with his mind to erase her.
Mm-hmm.
And even when your mind wants to erase the person, your heart is still
You're like
chasing her. And I sort of saw it as overcoming obstacles to love. That's, I have this positive memory of it, like being about true love, always finding a way.
Yeah.
So I really like it.
Yeah, I did feel a sense of true love finding a way because people. Found their way back to each other, but
they do end up together. They do end up together.
They do, but I felt a sense of, like, you know, you're gonna go through the same thing and you're gonna have to learn the same lessons.
But they
person, and it's gonna be hard and it might not work. But, like,
interesting. I felt like
they were gonna do it again. But also the directing was so beautiful for parts like that where they're chasing each other in the memories. And then hiding in different spots of his brain. Just fun. Michelle Gondry, like...
Amazing,
like...
Amazing visuals, yeah.
Visuals I did think were really, really good.
And, like, yeah. And just learning about how it was filmed for some parts. Ugh, it's...
Yeah.
That part definitely undeniable.
Oh, like the table scene?
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember seeing something about that because it was really good.
Damn. And then I just sort of watched a bunch of Michelle Gondry, like, movies and music videos just to see the artistic part of that. Yeah. I mean, if you're not, if you don't buy the relationship,
I really struggle. And that, like, I had this, I just watched Licorice Pizza, which everybody's,
I haven't seen.
Everybody kind of, I think, loves or hates. I hate it for a lot of reasons. One of them being that I don't care about these characters. I just don't. I don't believe the emotions and I don't, yeah, you just gotta care. Like, at the end of the day, all of everything you're saying about Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind.
Don't even bother remembering it.
I don't, it's not honestly not worth remembering for me. But yeah, I mean, I think all of it's such a good concept and it was shot so beautifully. I just like can't, I can't with the, I don't connect to the characters at all. I mean, it's not about connecting to them, but I don't care about them.
I can't force you to care about
people
you don't care about.
And not everything's for everyone. The only reason I'm moving us forward is because Brie expressed not wanting to be here all night.
That's
so
true.
Do you have any more, Lindsay? Do you have a third? Do you want to throw in a third?
Oh, I'll say one. I'll go back to for like nostalgia and like if you're sick that day and you just want to put on a favorite and it always holds up and it's always so great is 10 Things I Hate About You. Just a classic movie, also written by women, also based off Shakespeare play, Taming of the Shrew. So if you're, if you need
some Shakespeare,
you need some Shakespeare. But truly, I just love, I don't know, I feel like that cast ensemble just sort of struck a chord.
Yeah.
And it was like,
so
Heath Ledger.
Can we
talk about Heath Ledger? Is that your generation or a little older than you? That
tiny bit older.
Tiny bit older.
I was definitely like,
but, like
a 10-year-old
like
being like, oh, how do I marry Heath Ledger?
I mean, it's like when you're a teenager, like the movie's aimed at you. Like they lock in.
Yeah.
It's for sure aimed at me because they're so gorgy. But also just.
I was definitely a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was 1999.
I was 9,
so I was 10, yeah.
Yeah.
But they were people over 25 playing 20-year-olds?
But we didn't know the difference.
Yeah.
I think
or were they high school
age? They were all 18,
high school.
And I think Heath was 20, but, like, I think they were all 18.
Yeah, but it was
so
a high school movie, right?
Yeah,
like,
they're
yeah.
in high school. So it felt like, ugh, cool.
Yeah.
They're going to kiss? And they do kiss.
That's the one with the amazing Fatboy Slim dance routine?
Yes, where she's on the table. Right? Julia Stiles, she'd dance on the table.
I think you're conflating two movies.
It's possible.
There's a prom scene where one breaks out in a dance sequence, and I think that's She's All That. And then this part is she dances, she's drunk,
and she dances.
Yeah,
I don't remember what song it is.
It's a good song. I mean, that's a great soundtrack. And it might be She's All That for the other.
You're probably right. I didn't see it. My ex just told me that I should see it because I was a Fatboy Slim fan at the time.
Ooh.
Anyway.
I also was and still am a Fatboy Slim fan.
Absolutely. I wish I knew his fancy name. He's a sir, but yeah, he's fantastic. Second question, and Lindsay can go first, is a film that's underrated.
Underrated. I feel like, am I allowed to say two?
Or yes.
Okay.
There's,
phew.
I always joke there's no guy with a black and white shirt and a whistle.
I'll say it for the same reason. I mean, I feel like Romy Michelle High School's Reunion and Drop Dead Gorgeous were also seminal films, and just wanting to pursue comedy as a female and seeing that really female could carry movies and be so fucking funny. And just how they fucking greenlit bonker concepts in the late 90s.
Doesn't it feel like in many ways we've moved backwards with stuff like that? Like when I think about movies from the 90s, so many, like we had some really good female leads. We had cast that had people of color. We had leads that were people of color.
And you're like, oh great, we're going to keep doing it.
And then that,
sticks.
It didn't stick. And it was a mess for a long time.
Even though
it
works and people love it.
Yeah. Even though it works and people love it and it happened semi-naturally.
I feel like they're kind of culty classics.
Yeah, totally.
At least, but, you know, I think, yeah, make more. Love those movies more. We want more
We want more.
Also,
yeah,
just...
Yeah, no, it stands out when there is one, but that's what reminds you how few there are.
Right,
like,
yeah,
I thought Booksmart was ridiculously amazing.
Oh, I didn't see that, and I heard that it's so great, and that I should, and thank you for reminding me.
See Booksmart,
yeah.
Like, yesterday.
Right. Okay. Yes. Someone said the same thing not too long ago. But, yeah, and just... I don't know. The money they were putting behind those kind of concepts, too. Even just, like, looking at background and wardrobe on Romy Michelle.
Yeah.
I'm just like, thank you.
Yeah.
Now keep doing that. Which we didn't, but, like, I would say those are underrated.
It does feel
now. I love
now.
It. You're digging Gen X movies. Like,
yeah.
Romy and Michelle's the Gen X.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Lisa Kudrow and I are, like, 1 year apart, I think.
Yeah. And it really was me being, like, I want to do this and realizing that maybe I could do it. I feel like I just vocal fried so hard just then.
I don't know. I feel sometimes like women making movies aren't allowed to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about like the girl Ghostbusters and everybody had so much to fucking say about it. And
even before it was out.
Even before it was out. People already had an opinion about it, but then when it didn't, I mean, I don't think I watched it, but I heard it didn't get fantastic reviews or that, you know, people didn't like it. And it's like, okay, so it's
just
one
like
fucking
movie
run by women that you didn't like. Why is it such a fucking thing? I can name dozens upon dozens of...
A year
of movies made by men that are fucking tanking. Like, you know what I mean? It just feels like... And obviously, it's probably 10 times that if you're a person of color. But I just... It's something that's I find personally frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the willingness to take chances is... maybe fucked up a bit by that, too, in terms of the movies that we're seeing today. Okay, my most underrated, Practical Magic.
I love that movie!
Which I love so much. It has 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, and if anybody listening to this knows the people at Rotten Tomatoes, I think that it's time to start sending emails. It is such a fucking good movie. It is perfect beginning to end. I have a fucking tattoo. Like, I love Practical Magic so much.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't even need to explain
and
to you
and
why
it's
good.
That's the one where all the music is mashups.
What?
Wait, I'm thinking. What
no.
am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. Nicole Kidman. Rizzo from Grease.
Rizzo, last name.
What's
Grease.
Her name? I don't know why I can't think of her name.
She was just in something I watched recently.
Cha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was it.
Anyway, and then a young Camilla Bell is in it. Evan Rachel Wood is in it.
Whoa.
She plays Sally's daughter.
Wow.
So fucking good, this movie. It's unreal. And the soundtrack is amazing. You've got Stevie Nicks in there.
Yep.
You've got Joni Mitchell.
Put the lime in the coconut.
Harry Nilsson. Is that who sings Lime in the Coconut?
It is, yeah.
That's...
It's a good time.
My weird music knowledge. But yes, yeah, it's fantastic. And I will never understand why it's not everybody's favorite movie.
Stockard Channing. I had to Google it on the phone.
Thank you.
That's a tough one to remember.
I was like, cha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can pick another one for overrated. You go first.
No, you're overrated.
So then I'm not just over here.
Eternal
Sunshine. I know. Or we can just skip me.
Give another one.
Well, the other one I would say is Moulin Rouge.
Oh, I didn't like that.
People fucking love Moulin Rouge, and I really, I'm a huge Tom Waits fan, and so his El Tango de Roxanne just really does it for me. I love it so much. But it's also, I mean, I'm also not a massive fan of his, it's Baz Luhrmann, right? And he also did Romeo and Juliet. It's that sort of style of...
Yeah, that highly stylized.
Yeah, and also just, like, the rapid cutting to the point where it's like, I don't know if we even have a plot line here. Like, it's, I don't fuck with it.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with it.
I get how that can be.
Yeah.
Off-putting. Or, like, it's jarring.
Yeah.
It kind of worked for me with Romeo and Juliet. Maybe it's just Leo being so hot.
I feel that for Ewan McGregor.
Okay.
And the vocals, ugh. But I mean, like, I even with that, it wasn't enough for Moulin Rouge for me.
Yeah, Moulin Rouge even worse.
But yeah, Leo and Romeo and Juliet with just like the one bang in the face. You're just like, oh,
through the fish tank.
I found my next
sing each other through the fish tank. And not like I understand Shakespeare anyway, so fucking edit it weird. Go crazy.
Go crazy. Michael from Lost is in it.
Fun. Oh yeah, he. Oh. Amazing performance.
Mm-hmm. Least favorite character from Lost, though.
Yeah. And that's He's not such a his fault.
Dick. Well, the character, he played it well. He did great.
Yeah, he did great.
But I just hated the character
Walt!
So much.
Walt! pretty good impression.
If this bad dad whines about his kid.
I can't help but mention that Michael from Lost appears naked in the Discovery Indie Film TV series, season
Ooh,
one.
Good.
Good to know.
More male nudity.
That's important.
Well, full frontal is important.
Go for it.
What was your overrated?
I was just going to say, like, I appreciate other people being able to enjoy things, so I don't want to, like, but I'm, like, fine if there's never another Star Wars movie. Like, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And I want everyone to be happy forever, and that's great, and if you went to the movies with your dad and saw the first one released and all that nostalgia, like, I get it. But I don't get it for me.
But the whole phenomenon itself.
Yeah, it's a little bit kind of bloated overrated. Now, and the one with Jar Jar Binks came out around one of my younger birthdays, and we went to go see it for my birthday, like a birthday movie, and I was sort of like,
oh, well, nobody likes Jar Jar Binks.
If it's
any consolation,
ripoff.
Literally nobody likes.
Nobody likes that. And
Star
I was
Wars
like,
fanatics, noobs, no one
yeah.
likes Jar Jar Binks.
And I was like, oops, I had a bad birthday idea. But at least we got everyone blue Gatorades. And
oh, that's important.
And that was important.
So you had a good birthday anyway.
So
some cake.
We all get to, we all drink the blue Gatorades, eat some cake.
Cute.
But yeah.
That sounds a little Jonestown to me.
I was going to say. Very Jones. It was a Jonestown themed birthday. That's what you tell people from now on.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, just like sometimes leave things alone when, but everyone loves a reboot right now. I think it's just a little too much. It's a little bit too much sequel-y right now.
I think it's very valid. Very valid. You're not the first person who has just said the whole Star Wars thing.
All of it. Yeah, I mean.
But
I
do
get
think
rid
that
of the
movie
whole
1977 was pretty good. But I'm not sure there was anything good. I actually thought Rogue One was superb.
Oh, I agree. I think that it's honestly one of the best Star Wars movies.
I agree.
I'm a big, big Star Wars fan. I have a similar feeling about doing the shows. I did like The Mandalorian, and I just finished Boba Fett.
Oh, are you liking it?
By the end of Boba Fett, I was like, okay, it tied some things together for me with The Mandalorian that I really liked, but I don't know if I actually need any of those, and I kind of wish it was just the movies. Which, like, Jar Jar Binks and really, like, all of, like, 1, 2, and 3 episodes together.
The prequel shouldn't exist.
Well,
for me.
Oh, yeah, the prequel, like, episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know why, but
money?
And also because, like, this iconic sci-fi movie comes out and it's immediately called Episode 4. What an unhinged, incredible thing. And
smart,
you know. So
although I think it wasn't until like the second or third release they slapped that on there.
Oh, really?
And called it A New Hope. Yeah, at first it was just Star Wars, but then
first it was just Star Wars.
But then George Lucas claimed, "Yeah, I have a trilogy to come before this," but he didn't because the stories don't line up.
Yeah, they don't. But which is also though why like Rogue One is so insanely good because it answers a lot of holes. It fills a lot of holes, is what it does. Rogue One's.
But it's also just a great fucking story.
It's also just a really fucking good story.
And
like, that's a true sci-fi.
So I can already tell we could talk about how great some things are in Star Wars for like an hour.
Yeah, so
we
should move on.
We should move on.
Yeah.
Like I said, I want you guys to have this.
Yeah,
I want you to have this.
Star Wars was supposed to be, when I saw Star Wars at age 9
right.
in 1977.
Like, this is the part I don't want to take away from anyone.
It's a pirate movie and a cowboy movie set in outer space.
Whoa.
And then they made all these sequels and prequels that were like, not that. And then Rogue One comes on and goes, suicide mission movie in outer space. And all of a sudden, it was true to the original again. And amazing.
Yeah.
And wonderfully acted. And finally with a female lead. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, fantastic
Superb.
Movie. Mm-hmm. Agree.
I'm glad you guys are really
happy. I like Solo too. Go figure. All right, so.
That's fine. I'm not mad at you guys for liking.
I can tell you're mad. What's the? We have
the,
another.
The last one is a lesser known film to seek out.
All right, I went first last time.
Oh, I need a minute.
Okay,
you wrote yours down.
I did. I wrote mine down. I wrote down, the first thing I wrote down was Secretary, but I feel like that's popular enough that it doesn't need to be on there.
I haven't seen it.
Most people
you've never seen Secretary? Uh-huh. Really? Oh, Maggie Gyllenhaal, James Spader. James Spader was like one of my first ever like
Maggie
crushes
Gyllenhaal?
On television. Yeah.
Is
fucking
she your favorite?
In, I mean, amazing, amazing movie.
BDSM movie.
Yeah. It's a BDSM movie. It's
but the best kind.
It's so good.
Like, so consensual.
And it's actually kind of a perfect indie film in that it was made with name actors, but it was an independent film because it was a good drama about a subject that Hollywood wouldn't touch.
Yeah. It really ticks a lot of boxes. It's so good. Ooh, and someone else from Lost is in it.
I thought of one.
The guy who plays like Maggie Gyllenhaal's sort of wet blanket boyfriend that tries to marry her, he's in Lost. And I forget his name. It starts with an F. I forget the character's name. I don't know the actor's name.
I can't. I'm blanking.
You can't place him?
I haven't seen Secretary since it was in theaters.
You gotta watch it. It's so
good.
I'd
watch it again tonight.
Yeah, the time is now.
But then I have to get frisky with... Because that movie
with
is
the lady.
Hot. That movie
it
is
very
hot.
It is.
And then James Spader.
I'm too
was
much
one
of a prude to give more.
Spader. I had a massive Spader crush starting with Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Like,
yeah. Like, the thing I really love is that didn't he start out as like sort of the high school bully and then just became absolute fucking sex icon?
He was the douchey pretty boy and like
yeah.
Wasn't that
and
not
like
Pretty in Pink.
I can't remember if it was, like, or, like, Fast Times at Ridgemont. It was, like, one of those.
I think it was Pretty in Pink.
You think it was Pretty in Pink?
I think he was a douchebag in that, or...
Oh, yeah, maybe it was Pretty in Pink.
He was, like, the one who would, like, put down John Cryer or whatever for not being cool.
Yes.
Or whoever it was.
Yeah, whoever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As if he was, oh, my God, there is... I wish I knew the name of it, but there is one of the worst movies I ever saw in my life. And I think it's on Netflix and it's starring James Spader. And it's like,
oh no.
He got to play the lead like in that era. And it's just a horrible film about him like being in gang fights or something.
What?
As a white boy from Malibu. I don't know. It's
a
hilarious.
Weird casting.
I wish I could name it.
Anyway, while Lindsay picks hers, I just want to throw in Galaxy Quest.
Oh,
yeah. Perfect film.
Perfect movie.
Film.
Perfect film.
Perfect
and
film.
I don't hear enough people talking
maybe
about
underrated
it. That's all.
It's great.
Really?
Yeah.
All my nerds love it. I mean,
yeah,
maybe
that's
it's
love.
I think
it's probably
cult-y.
The best Star Trek movie ever made.
Yeah, it's...
Because it's better than all the Star Trek movies.
Yeah, it is better than every Star Trek thing ever made.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I'm also not
it's
a Trekkie.
Perfect.
I'm just not.
It's a perfect movie.
Also, Sam Rockwell's in it, which if I had to pick one, like... actor. I don't have real actor crushes. Like, they're all dead. But, like, if I had to pick one living actor that I'm, like,
no matter
truly
what,
actually have the hots for, it would be Sam Rockwell.
He's a...
Don't tell anyone.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
And you know, Sigourney in that movie is just over the top fantastic. Hilarious. And she
so
gets
hot.
To do sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
And
that's another good example of, like, woman in a movie that just like it's an older movie but she's still not super young.
Nope.
She's super hot and she's being funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's all the things. It's
and
all
I
the
mean,
things for me.
It's an amazing film even though Tim Allen's in it. Like that's like the greatest accomplishment of all time.
Yeah, and also with that cast he's the lead.
Yeah.
Is kind of crazy.
That sitcom was pretty big.
Tony Shalhoub is in this fucking movie. And Tim Allen is the lead. Like, it's...
By the way, he's doing, like, a Dude, Where's My Car level of stoner in that film. Like,
yeah.
Like Tony Shalhoub is, like... Every word he says is funny in that movie.
Yeah,
is so
everything
perfect.
He does. He, like, really nailed that character so well.
I love Sam in that movie. Sam Cosby. I'm gonna die. I'm the guy. I'm in the
yeah.
red shirt.
Yeah,
yeah
super neurotic guy
so
in
funny.
Space is just a good.
And then it's
character.
A tearjerker at the end when all the fans chip in and help them win. That's,
yeah.
That's the greatest.
Oh yeah, and that's Justin Long. Is that his
yes.
name? Yeah, he plays the
yeah.
kid. Yeah,
yeah. The guy who was famous for five
so
minutes because of Drew Barrymore.
What?
I think Justin Long got. a couple movies because he was dating Drew Barrymore and she helped him out.
Nice.
And then they broke up and he disappeared.
Really?
Like, did he?
He did. I don't know. He did Dodgeball. He
that
did.
Was during the
Dodgeball. Thanks, Drew.
Okay. He had a minute. I'm sure he's doing very well, and I'm sure he's a really good guy. And I take all that back.
I don't know.
I don't need to confirm or deny.
We don't know.
Who knows?
All right. What's yours?
Oh, I think seek out Tangerine. Have you guys seen? Shot all on an iPhone. Beautiful movie about sex work and starring a trans woman. And it's very, I call it a Christmas movie because one of the scenes has some fun Christmas lights and she's like, oh boy. It's like it's shot over one day and she's got to get to her singing gig, but you know, drama ensues. But same people that did the Florida Project, I believe.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it, and I've heard it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's great. And something... Oh, when you said Sam Rockwell, I was like, oh, Moon! But then I remember Kevin Spacey is the, like, computer voice in that movie, which ruins it for me now. Yeah. But, like, Sam Rockwell's performance in Moon, it's just him.
I've literally never seen him do something I didn't like.
So Moon. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you it's not
okay.
For you?
It's a no. I mean, it's just it's okay that Kevin Spacey's voice is in there. No, I mean,
no.
It's not.
I mean, if it
I
does,
mean, I'm glad he's not going to work again. But Moon's amazing.
Oh, Moon's amazing. Yeah,
I think just once
David
you
David Bowie's son.
I think like
it was. That's right.
Directed it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think like once somebody has done some really shady stuff you know about, it's hard to like see them and not think of the really bad stuff they've done to people.
Yeah, if you're not being constantly triggered hearing the voice and you can do it, you can do it. But like I can't listen to Michael Jackson anymore. Not that.
Yeah, same. And the kid wants to play his music all the time and I'm like, I can't.
It's hard. It's hard out there.
It's because it's just true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Well, and I admittedly have not seen something with Kevin Spacey in it since we found out how shitty he can be.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But it kind of makes me sad to think I couldn't.
Yeah. Thankfully, there's others.
there are other movies.
Like too many. Yeah, mm-hmm. Other actors. Yeah, too many movies. Too much media right now, honestly. And there's not enough time to watch it all before you die. Especially if you count books, too.
Totally true, and it's important to read.
It is important.
Oh, yeah. Again, I'd like to turn it over to reading is cool and
reading
fun.
Reading is cool and fun.
I was going to say, you want to throw out a book recommendation?
No.
I will.
Oh, okay.
I just, for some reason, I'm going to jump on this opportunity. The best fantasy sci-fi writer alive is a woman named N.K. Jemisin, and she wrote... this amazing trilogy that's the greatest thing I've ever read. The Broken Earth Trilogy.
Oh, okay.
It's about human beings on some other planet who can control earthquakes with their minds. It's remarkable.
Oh, that's so fun.
And she's just amazing. I've gone on a binge of her, so.
Oh.
I'm spreading the gospel.
That's great. I read a lot of, I read a lot of nonfiction and a lot of memoirs, and then I'm just reading like books on Buddhism and like books written by doctors about the chemistry of love and nerd shit like that. But the last fiction that I read that I really, really fucking loved was My French Whore by Gene Wilder, and could not recommend it enough. Also, good thing to know is that his memoir, Kiss Me Like a Stranger, he voices the audiobook. I don't usually do audiobooks, but like that for that I did. But yeah, My French Whore is amazing, and you also can't help but like he absolutely writes the way he speaks, and you can't picture it as anyone other than him being the main character. And I really loved it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. I will do one. I didn't know if it was a bit or not, but then we all doubled down. Joan Didion just passed.
Yeah.
And I think I recommended this book to you as
well. Magical Thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've read it. It's so good.
It's so good.
It's really
good. Oh, great. You did. And I think you had already had it.
I already had it.
Just hadn't read it yet.
I just hadn't read it, yeah.
And, like...
Love Joan.
It's such a great perspective on grief and how your brain won't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And the truly the delusion that is the rest of your life, almost.
Yeah.
Not almost. It's like...
It's a really perfectly written, you know...
It's so... I applaud her. Because it's so impossible to almost talk about. And then she finds ways to write about it where you're just like... I mean, it's nonfiction, so...
Yeah.
She finds a way to just tell her story, but it you just need that connection sometimes with grief and to know that other people are feeling it in the same unexplainable way.
Yeah.
And R.I.P.
Most definitely. All right. We went twice as long as I promised. My apologies. But we can wrap up. Do you want websites and if you want websites and social media, go to discoverindiefilm.com and they'll be in with this episode. Actually, I guess it's in the show notes. I've never said that term before, but I've heard other podcasts I listen to say, check the show notes.
Ooh, say it.
And yeah, so the URLs and stuff will be in there and the Instagram ads and whatnot will be in the show notes.
They'll be in the show notes.
In the show notes.
In the show notes.
Show enough. All right. And you just heard Lindsay Frank and Bree Helders answer the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which means you really want to see their movie. And there are two movies
you do.
Even. Yes. So go to Amazon Prime Video, look for Discover Indie Film, and enjoy. Season 5. I don't know what episode yet. I should, but I've been so busy with this kitchen project. So anyway.
We'll fix it in post.
Right. We will. I will one day put in the number. And so see their award-winning film. Bree and Lindsay are actors in that Discovery Indie Film TV series. If you want to learn more, go to discoveryindiefilm.com. On social media, it's at DIFWINS. Also, like and subscribe. Give 5 stars. Watch their film and then go to Amazon.com and look it up and give it 5 stars on Amazon. I often joke that there's been almost 100 films so far and there's not even close to 100 5-star reviews, which means even the people whose films are in this TV series aren't giving it reviews. Guilt Trip Arizona.
Subtweet.
Right? And two film festivals to tell you about. Bree and Lindsay are actors, won 2 awards at Filmvasion Los Angeles that we hold every June. That's filminvasionla.com if you want to learn about it, or at filminvasionla on social media. And its sister festival every November is Sherman Oaks Film Festival. That's shermanoaksff.com. Starting to feel like it's a car commercial. And at Sherman Oaks FF on social media. And if you want to have some real fun, on April 20th in the LA area, THC Cinema, movie night number 2 will be on 420 at 8 p.m.
Woo!
And there's going to be a film starring a rubber duck, I think.
Good.
Okay.
That's all I Finally. Know for now.
Trying to get that rubber duck up there.
You know? What are you going to do? All right. Thank you both for coming in and hanging out all night.
Truly. Thank you for having us.
And thank you everyone for listening. Stop.